Such person.
Vaishnava Shrestha.
A first class Vaishnava.
Bhaja.
Worship.
Tanghara.
Charane.
His lotus feet.
Translation verse 4 by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve His lotus feet. Please repeat. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord. So you consider a first class
Vaishnava.
And your duty is to serve His lotus feet.
For
what? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Anyone have anything to say about this?
Not really.
But then,
not really, maybe I do.
Can anyone explain this? Yeah.
I think that would be the first sentence.
Well, no one has to explain it because no one heard it.
Well,
you heard it. Okay. What's that?
Does it mean Majjhima?
Yeah, Majjhima. Well, the point is, the translation says, a person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve His lotus feet. And here it says, the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. So it's a first or second. What's that? Okay.
It's apparently
doesn't really make any difference. Let's get to the second class platform. Now we'll argue about it.
I heard seventh. That's why I was sure what's happening.
Second. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyama Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee or an ordinary person should worship the Madhyama Bhagavata, who is a via media. So second-class platform means that one is liberated from the material conceptions of life. That is, one has actually realized oneself to be different from the body. And at the same time, when he chants the holy name of Krishna, then, well, the realization comes from when one chants the holy name of Krishna, then one at once remembers Krishna's form. On the other hand, there are four kinds of pious persons who approach Krishna: those who are in distress, those who are looking after material comfort, those who are inquisitive, and he was searching not for knowledge of the Absolute. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, the Shudra is the fourth class devotee. The Vaishya is the second one that's mentioned, those who are looking for material comfort, because at least they know what material comfort is. People are working hard nowadays for money, so-called money, pieces of paper, but they have no idea how to spend it. Therefore, instead of getting comfort, they're actually, with spending their money, they're getting more and more distress. If you buy a television, a big screen television, it may appear to be comfort in your living room, but actually when you turn it on, it's full of all kinds of destructive vibrations and information, then your brain becomes bewildered, it becomes agitated, your whole body becomes polluted, and therefore, by a machine that's going to destroy you is not exactly comfort. As I mentioned before, one devotee in 26 Second Avenue went to Srila Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, can you give me $50 because I want to buy some gasoline and kill myself with. So Prabhupada called the treasurer, at that time it was Garbhamuni, and asked him, can you give him $50 because he wants to buy some gasoline and burn himself with it. So Garbhamuni said, I'm sorry Prabhupada, or at that time it was Swamiji, we don't have $50 in the treasury. So he looked at the boy and said, well, what can I do? We don't have $50. I'm sorry. And then when the boy left, Prabhupada said, this boy is crazy. He said, because gasoline only at that time it only cost around 10 cents per gallon or a quarter or something. He said, he could just ask for 25 cents and get a gallon. He asked me for $50 to get a gallon. Like, it must be crazy. Similarly, people are wasting so much effort and money to buy things, thinking that they're rich, but actually the very things that they're buying, accumulating, are the cause of their suffering. The Vaishyas, they have some knowledge. What is comfort? Pure water, fresh air, nutritious, fresh food, nicely prepared and served, nice relationships and peaceful life. This is actually comfort. But instead of that, they've created Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvato Vibhuda, a civilization which is quite uncomfortable. Now people have to watch the news to find out if they're going to eat tomorrow. Some minister or some head of state is making some decision whether he's going to rob everything from everyone and give it to the rich and only they can eat. Or maybe they'll let everyone else get a few morsels of food here and there. Because they're taking the means of production and they've given it to someone else to produce the actual necessities of life. And they themselves are now engaged in producing anarthas, things that are unnecessary and actually detrimental to the well-being of all living entities on this planet. They've invented 100,000 chemicals that go into their productions. And most of them, and the majority of them, 95% or more, they don't even know what the effects of the chemicals are. What to speak of the combinations of chemicals. And from everything, even some child gets a toy, you know, doll, it may kill the child. They've had a recall from China. So many poisonous toy dolls. You eat a piece of candy with tainted milk, and you may, that may be the last candy you eat. People have no idea what they're eating. We don't even know what we're breathing. We don't know what's in the water. One devotee once opened up a bottle of thumbs up. This is a true story, by the way. And in the bottle, floating with the thumb up, was a thumb. Maybe that's where they got the name thumbs up. Every so often they give people a free thumb in the bottle. And those were inquisitive, the kshatriyas. What are they inquisitive about? How to organize society for the betterment of all living entities within the society. And they inquire from the Brahmins, who have the knowledge, and ultimately they have the highest knowledge, liberation. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is born a shudra. Unfortunately, by modern education, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has declared that after going to school for so many years, one becomes less than an ass. Janmana jayate shudra. And one may be a shudra, but one is supposed to be samskara bhava vipra. One is supposed to see a light at the end of the tunnel. liberation. That's called vipra or dvija. One who knows that there is something more to materialistic than simply materialistic life. That there is actually a hope for liberation, and there's a process of liberation. And if one takes to the process, one will gradually elevate towards getting out of the material concept of life. And by the study of the Vedas, Veda, Panta, Bhavat, Vipra, one becomes learned. If one thinks that the only goal of life is to eat and sleep and mate and defend, and try to increase that more and more, then one will have no ability to understand any higher truth than eating, sleeping, mating, defending. If one hears about the fact that we're not this body, it's kind of boring, unless we're actually spiritualists, transcendentalists. If we say again, Deno smingita dehe, kamaram yovanandara, tata dahantara prapir, diryas tatra namuyati, as the embodied soul is continually passing this body from boyhood to youth to old age, so the soul enters into another body at the time of death. The self-realized soul, he's not bewildered by all these different changes. In other words, if we even understood to a small degree, or to a larger degree, that we're not this body, we become at once joyful, prasanatma. So the symptom of our ignorance is the fact that we're not joyful, and the reason why we're not joyful is because we identify ourselves with this body, and because we identify ourselves with this body, we don't take it very seriously that we're not the body. We think, oh, we've heard that philosophy so often. They always say that. I already knew that. I could even quote the verse. It's the only verse I know in the Bhagavad Gita. But to realize that we're not this body is something different. That means we've come to the platform of Brahma Buddha, and from there, real devotional service begins, according to Krishna. That's called Madhyama Adhikara. Sometimes we hear that perhaps there are advanced devotees in our movement, and they're only Madhyama Adhikaras. Well, if I was a Madhyama Adhikara, I'd be quite happy. To realize that we're not this body would be quite a pleasant experience. In other words, Madhyama Adhikari is not so cheap. It is in a very advanced position. Freedom from all anxiety and be able to discriminate properly. Just imagine if we always had proper discrimination and we knew how to relate to all other living entities. So when Krishna says, Nashoshiti, Nakamshiti, Samat Sarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madhvatim Lavate Param. One sees all of the entities as spiritual beings and can discriminate between the Supreme Lord, who is also a living person, the devotees, and he knows perfectly how to relate to all the different classes of devotees. The innocent and the envious, at every moment he knows exactly what to do to properly serve Krishna in his relationships with others, and therefore help himself and help others make spiritual advancement. Such an exalted position is called Madhyama Adhikari, and because one is on the platform of Trinadati Sunichena Turariva Sahishnuna Amanina Madhidinena Kirtaniya Siddhari. Because he's on the platform of humility. Why is he humble? Because he knows whatever the external features and activities that someone is manifesting in the material world, it's only the material modes of nature that are active, and within the modes of material nature, there's a soul, and the soul is eternally, all the souls are eternally equal, except for the Supreme Soul and his expansion. Someone may be asleep, say someone is a multi-trillionaire, and he's asleep, and he's dreaming that he's become a poverty-stricken beggar. Does that mean that he's become a poverty-stricken beggar because he's dreaming he's become one? So now we're all dreaming in material existence. We've become poverty-stricken and beggars in the material world. But actually, we're all multi-trillionaires. We've simply forgotten. So someone is supposed to wake us up. Therefore, someone is awake and realizes that everyone else, he has all these associates who are all rich, and they should work together for their business. What does he do? He hears someone dreaming, saying, oh, I've lost everything, I'm poverty stricken. What does he do? Start crying, oh, you poor boy, you're poverty stricken now. No, he just wakes him up, and then he realizes that he's rich, and they can work together to increase the family business. Similarly, Madhya Mahadhikari realizes everyone is Krishna's servant, not those who have realized that they're Krishna's servants, and everyone else isn't Krishna's servant. But the reality is that everyone, every living entity is Krishna's servant, and the aim of Krishna's servants is to help awaken other Krishna's servants back to their original identity. And that's the only thing that will solve their problems. Whether the economy collapses or not, it makes no difference to the soul. It may make a difference whether the body is going to eat or what it's going to eat. But the soul is always the same. And things are happening in the material world according to the laws of karma, not by accident. People are getting exactly what they deserve and even what they need to make spiritual advancement. Therefore, the Madhya Mahadhikari perfectly discriminates, therefore he becomes humble and tolerant and appreciative of those who are engaged in devotional service. And he himself knows that whatever credit he gets for his service actually goes to his spiritual master and Krishna. Then Nadanamna Janamna Sundarim Padita Vajigadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavatad Bhakti Ahaitukivai. Because he's already liberated, therefore he doesn't desire liberation. If you have trillions and trillions of euros and someone offers you 50 euro pence or cents, it's not a big thing. Similarly, if one was actually on the Brahma Buddha platform, was liberated, he doesn't need anything external to satisfy himself. He's already completely happy, satisfied with himself, and he's already liberated. The only thing he wants is to call out to Krishna to engage him in his loving service. Therefore, he's always chanting Hare Krishna, and when he chants Hare Krishna, the Madhya Mahadhikari, if not on the state of Nishtha, here it says he's developing his taste, Ruchi. Now when he chants Hare Krishna, then he feels Krishna's presence. And he feels Krishna's devotees, and it's all pleasurable. Therefore, because it's pleasure beyond a conditioned soul's imagination, therefore the Madhya Mahadhikari is inspired more and more to chant, because the more he chants, the more pleasure he experiences. When I went to college, I had my major in psychology, and they did experiments with rats, because they were more intelligent than anyone else. Students were all intoxicated, so you couldn't really get any consistent results from your experiments with the students. So they used rats, because they were steady. This was the age of experimental psychology, trying to figure out how the human being works so you can control them. And with rats, they implanted some electrode in the rat's brain. They found some pleasure, what stimulated pleasure, they thought was pleasure. And the rat, if it pressed a pedal, then the result was that he'd feel a jolt of pleasure. And guess what? The rat was simply sitting there all day long, didn't want to eat, was just pressing the pedal, just stimulating his pleasure areas in his brain. Of course, it didn't take an atomic scientist to figure that out. But, for instance, at one university, the United States government in the same year paid a scientist $90,000, which was like hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's money, to investigate why spiders build webs. And guess what he discovered, why spiders are building webs. Yeah, he discovered after spending $90,000 that the reason was that they're trying to catch flies to eat them. So similarly, people are motivated by pleasure, by the search for happiness. And if one actually gets happiness by some method, one will continue on with that activity. When one comes to Palakma Ruchi and is tasting happiness by chanting Hare Krishna, and if the happiness is always increasing, then one actually, one constantly chants Hare Krishna. He doesn't have to be reminded, follow rules and regulations, etc. Because it's pleasurable. One can smell the transcendental world, one can taste the transcendental world, one can feel the transcendental world, one can hear the transcendental world, and everything is pleasurable, all varieties of pleasure. That's called spontaneous devotional service, and it becomes spontaneous, automatically one will make progress because the very process becomes enchanting, enlivening, and enlightening. Therefore, that's what we're trying to learn. That's the process of becoming Krishna conscious. That such a person can think that he becomes a preacher because he actually has something to say. He's discovered the fountain of happiness, the source of happiness, and therefore he tries to explain it to others. In his Upadeshamrita, Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī says, Prāti-hi-vīs-kabhājantāṁ-īśāṁ. This means that Madhyamādhākāra devotee should exchange the basis between themselves. The word nirāntara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. One has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service. In other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruit of activity and speculative knowledge. As Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Guru Goswami says, Anyabhilashita Shunya Jnana Karma Giravrita. Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilana Bhakti Uttama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruit of activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first class devotion. Another meaning of so. Third class devotee is one whose devotional service is interrupted. Of course, neophyte has a bad connotation. Many devotees I know who joined the movement at the same time as I did, even after being in the movement for 10 years, then they thought, we've been in the movement for so long and we haven't realized love of God. We've been chanting for 10 straight years and still we're not experiencing ecstasy. There can't be anything wrong with us. Because we're so sincere, there must be something wrong with the process. So they decided that this process is too slow, they should find another process. That's where the sahajiyas are born at. People who take the process and think that this is too slow, let me find a better process. But neophyte, there's a notion. There's a big, big stretch between the beginning and even coming to nishtha. It is not an overnight, 5-minute process. To develop shraddha. Shraddha is the focusing the mind and giving one's love to Krishna. Even a little bit, trying to focus the mind, is shraddha. Trying to be a little enthusiastic. And then we learn the process in the association of devotees. That's called sadhusanga. Then we learn the process, and the process is principally chanting the holy names and performing devotional service. And there is many different stages, such as utsahamayi, Gana, Kerala, etc. And gradually we come to the platform of Anarghanavritti. And there are so many Anarghas, there are so many things that we're attracted to because we've cultivated that attraction since time immemorial. We focused our minds upon accumulated wealth and sense gratification since time immemorial. And therefore, it is not so easy to become detached from fruitive activity, one side. And the other is this idea we've come here to increase our false ego. And therefore, to get free from mental speculation, how can I become important in the material world, is not so easy. And our conversion may take some time, but if one preaches, it takes less time. But preaching should be according to the Madhyama Adhikari or the Uttama Adhikari, especially Madhyama Adhikari, who's preaching. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has cautioned us that even if we're giving class or preaching, whatever service we're doing, we should not think ourselves be the doer of the activity. Krishna calls such a person Vimuda, Prapate Kriyamanani, Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha, Ahankara Vimudatma, Kartahan Iti Manite. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of general nature, thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are carried out by the three modes. So I can imagine we're all hearing this and we're thinking, what is he talking about? Another insult. I'm not the doer. Then who, we can't even begin to hardly imagine that I'm not the doer of the activity. Then what am I doing anything for? If I'm not even the doer, then it takes all the fun out of everything. You gotta give me some credit. At least give me credit for being a devotee. Therefore, generally probably didn't even stress this because it's too bewildering to us. I'm not the doer, therefore even I'm a devotee, which makes me better than all the karmis, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, out of all these low-born karmis, and, someone takes the devotional, to the process of self-realization, alright, that's me. And of those who take to the process of self-realization, hardly one knows me in truth.
It's me again.
Alright, we're up there. Could make it in the material world, but according to God, we're the best, alright. We're the A-team. Three jives for the A-team. But then we hear we're not even the doer. What is that? This is not... You're built up my false ego and now you're smashing it. This is not fair. No, we're not the doer. It's being carried out by Krishna's either three modes or by Krishna's internal energy. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī said that a preacher... he doesn't think himself to be great. He thinks himself simply to be an instrument for the previous acharyas. And that by becoming an instrument for the previous acharyas, he may be able to do good for others and for himself. Nimitra matra bhavasavasa jin. Therefore, Krishna is delivering the living entities and the soul is allowing him to do it. Simply, when the less the soul gets in the way, the more Krishna can deliver others. The Madhyama Adhikari is thinking like that. The Kanista Adhikari, he doesn't understand it very clearly. Therefore, when he allows Krishna to act as an instrument, he wants to share the credit with Krishna. He may give credit to Krishna because that's preaching, but he wants to share the credit with Krishna and get some enjoyment from his activities. That's still an Anarghanavritti. But once he sings correctly, then one can chant the holy name without offense, and therefore he allows Krishna appears before him constantly. The reason why Krishna disappears from our remembrance is because we're thinking, Krishna, what are you doing here? It's embarrassing. We don't want you here. Come back later when I need you. As long as you're here, my false prestige is being diminished. But if you go away for a few seconds, I can enjoy false prestige, or I can feel myself independent. It's feeling independent. Inspired. I'm doing what inspires me. That's also another thing. I'm doing not what Krishna wants me to do, but I'm doing what inspires me, and then I offer the results to Krishna. So that's all right. That keeps one on a platform of Kanisa Adhikar. Instead, one should always be thinking, whatever I'm doing to please Krishna. And one should try to understand things clearly as possible. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that blind following and absurd inquiries condemn. So this is our problem, blind following. Oh, this philosophy is so complicated. Everyone has a different opinion. You ask one senior devotee, he tells you one thing. You ask another senior devotee, he tells you another thing. There is no reality. It's whatever you feel, that's the reality. They have their philosophy and I have my philosophy. Blind following. And absurd inquiries. Alright, there is a philosophy, so let's pick it apart until there's nothing left. Go over every detail and try and find all the contradictions and then finally merge into the oneness of the philosophy. So blind following and absurd inquiries and condemn, one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding, so that's the goal. A clear understanding through submission, inquiry, and service. So when we become convinced that I have no other goal in life, save, accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while acting in such a way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him. Then Prabhupada writes that one will at once remember Krishna. That's Madhyama Adhikara. Constantly in that mood of service. Has developed a service attitude to Krishna and his devotees. Another meaning of antara is this body. This body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed. Greed to acquire more money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas, by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the Supreme Personality of God in himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master, an ordinary human being, Guru Shu Naramati, is also an impediment. Nor one should consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water, and the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 265, Sri Jiva Goswami writes, Amaikam yasya vachi smarana panta gatam iyadau deha dravinadi nimitaka pashanda shabdena cha dasha parada lakshayante pushanda mayatvam tesham. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge. And this is condemned. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishvarita adineshu balisheshu dvitsatsucha prema maitri kripe kripopeka yakroti samadhi maha. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. There are four functions. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2.22.64, Sanatana Goswami is taught, Sharavam Janahaya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shara Ansari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. Shastra Yukta Nahi Jane Drila Sharavam Madhyama Adhikari Se Mahabhagavam. One who has attained an intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. So, we have to add these things together. That's called assimilating the knowledge. On one hand, first statement was that the first class devotee is always chanting the holy name. Second class devotee, then we hear, is also always chanting the holy name, and he likes to do it. And he doesn't have very advanced knowledge of the Shastra. So just imagine how much knowledge of the Shastra we have. If someone was actually chanting Hare Krishna all the time, and is actually remembering Krishna, or even feeling his presence, he doesn't have very advanced knowledge of the Shastra, so who amongst us is going to claim they're a great scholar? Therefore, only when one actually comes to the platform of Uttama Adhikari, when one has assimilated the knowledge, and one really has advanced knowledge, one is seen through the eyes of Scripture. Well, let's say, they're seeing the Scripture through their eyes, and the Madhyama Adhikari, he's seeing through the eyes of the Scripture. Ukramantam Siddhivati Bunjana Vaganambita Timuranana Pashanti Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the mode of control nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. We're supposed to be training our eyes to see things clearly, to see the Supreme Lord, and to try to love him, to see the devotees, and try to serve cooperatively with them, to see the innocent and try to raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness, and to avoid the non-devotees. By trying to develop this vision to see who's who and then act appropriately, then one is coming to the platform of Madhyama Adhikara. The Madhyama Adhikara has to see through the Scriptures, and the pure devotee, the advanced Uttama Adhikara, he actually sees what's taking place. Therefore, he has perfect knowledge of the Shastra. Rati prema taram tamaya Rati prema tara tamye bhakta tara tama. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. Degree of such attraction and love for God distinguish the different stages of devotion, neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 2271. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name. By chanting, he is elevated to the platform of love. The one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas and Krishna himself. Thus the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to intermediate innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform and they are called Prakriti. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. Here we can understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that there are two classes of devotees. The advanced devotees, those who are on the spiritual platform, who are madhyam or uttama, and those who are neophyte. So the advanced devotee always is chanting the holy name. He must be considered first class. Whether he's intermediate or first class, uttama, madhyama uttama, they're both considered first class. Because they've come to the perfection of always chanting Hare Krishna, having an attraction. Just like if you have a mango, there's a difference between a ripe mango and an unripe mango, but they're both mangoes. One tastes sweeter, that's all. The fully ripe mango is the Uttamavikara, and the not completely ripe mango is the Madhyamavikara. The happiness that comes from factually associating with Krishna directly through the chanting of the holy name cannot be even begun to be imagined, because if we could even imagine it, then we wouldn't be in the material world anymore. We'd be in the spiritual platform of consciousness. But when one comes to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari, then one understands that the factual platform, or that one can judge others as attraction and love for Krishna. How much we're focusing our attention and giving our love to Krishna. It's not a question of service. Prabhupada was explaining to one Madhavi there, and the devotees were trying to encourage her to do deity worship. But she had a young son, who was Pradyumna's wife. And she wrote to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no, you should just take care of your child. That's as good as deity work. All the services are equal. Do some service to Krishna. Just don't think that what this service is not very important, but that service is very important. But they're all equal because they're for Krishna. And if we do the service for Krishna, as given to us by our authorities, then the result is we'll become Krishna conscious, and that's perfection. Whether we do the service perfectly or not, that's not as important. Jatayu certainly did his service for Lord Ramachandra, but he lost the battle. And Hanuman did his service, he won the battle. But Lord Ramachandra was as affectionate to Tayo as he was to Hanuman. Lord Ramachandra personally performed the funeral rituals for Jatayu and held Jatayu in his hands while he was leaving his body. That's quite an auspicious situation. If Krishna came when we were leaving our bodies and took us in his hands, we'd be quite fortunate. Therefore, Jatayu's service was as valuable as Hanuman's service. Although, externally, it looks like, you know, Hanuman came back and distributed more books, whatever. So that's the vision we're trying to develop, appreciation for how much and how much attraction one has to Krishna, how much one loves Krishna, how much steadily and enthusiastically one is doing one's service, then one can understand to be an advanced or an intermediate or the most advanced devotee. So, stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Yes. One person reaches this higher state, Brahma Buddha stage, but if he falls back from this in one life, how long does it take to reach that state again?
The next life.
Next life.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I don't know. That's how Krishna is arranged.
So he will not take up to Krishna consciousness in this life, or?
Oh, he in this lifetime. Generally speaking, one comes to the Brahma Buddha platform, he doesn't fall back. We don't have instances of people who are actually in Krishna consciousness on the Brahma Buddha platform, they've fallen back. Can you name anyone in Shastra who's on that platform? Buddha, we have one, Bilamangala Thakur, who was at the beginning stages of Bhava, and apparently he became attracted to his girlfriend, and therefore he forgot temporarily. But in his next lifetime, well, in that lifetime, the spiritual master arranged it, that his girlfriend reminded him, and at once he took up Krishna consciousness again. So that's our experience. Or Bar Maharaj, he forgot Krishna consciousness temporarily in one lifetime, but in his next lifetime, the lifetime after that, he remembered Krishna again. So we don't have instances where it took a long time before a person who's advanced came back to an advanced platform. It's very probably raised in the Bhagavad Gita. But when it comes to the second class platform, he doesn't fall down, generally. And when it comes to the first class platform, it's guaranteed he'll never fall down. Therefore, we can't begin, it's not so easy to imagine. We think we know everything, we've already figured out the philosophy, we've understood all the different levels, it's really academic, and nothing new in Krishna consciousness. I read Bhagavad Gita 10 times, I know the whole thing. No one can tell me anything. We haven't even begun to experience what actually the transcendental platform. We can't even imagine. Become free from all anxiety and fear, to understand I'm eternal. Probably one lecturer said, it's like you've been in prison for 20, 50 years and suddenly they open the door and let you out. How happy you feel. So we're in prison, we're walking around thinking, I've understood everything, I know what it's like to be liberated. But we're still in prison. How do we know? What do we know what it's like? Become free from all sex desire, all desire for false prestige, everything like that. Be free from all our narratives, all our misconceptions. It's inconceivable. That's Brahma Buddha. Then from there, one can actually cultivate real devotional service. So what devotional service is like is a great mystery, what real pure devotional service is like, and the wonders of that experience. Even Brahma Buddha is inconceivable to us. Yes? Brahma-bhuta, that's Nishtha. Beginning of Nishtha. That is Nishtha, yeah.
Maharaj, you said earlier that the Majjhima Adhikaris, there are Majjhima Adhikaris in ISKCON, and,
I don't even think I made a statement like that, but I'm just saying.
Oh, we've heard that people say that there are...
Sometimes you've heard these expressions. All you have is Majjhima Adhikaris in your movement. That would be great. That's the nicest thing everyone told. We have all the udhimas. Well, that's nice. You know, you're all udhimas. But how did you become udhima? Did you bother going through the neophyte in the Madhya Mahanagari platform? Or you were born udhima? Wow, I mean, if someone accuses our movement of only having Madhyama Adhikari, because they don't understand how exalted Madhyama Adhikari platform is. It's what a compliment. You just have liberated souls walking around in your movement. Yes, we fold our hands and say, you're too kind. and then they claim we have our Uttama Adhikari. Well, Uttama Adhikaris, they at least understand what the philosophy is. And if they understand what the philosophy is, they'll understand how exalted a Madhyama Adhikari is. And they wouldn't go disparaging a movement because all they have is Madhyama Adhikaris. So anyone who's disparaging a movement that only has Madhyama Adhikaris, obviously they haven't understood the philosophy, so they must be neophyte devotees. So whatever, the devotees in our society, whatever they're, but at least we should understand properly how exalted it is to be an Uttama Adhikari and a Madhyama Adhikari, and not take it so cheaply. Just because we've been chanting Hare Krishna for some years, that automatically we must be Uttama or Madhyama. No, it should be judged by symptoms, lakshana, not simply by taking it for granted. And even if the advanced neophyte is quite exalted. He's the pure Brahman, probably once said to Harisari in conversation. The pure Brahman. If someone told me I was a pure Brahman, I'd say, you're crazy. You don't know who I am. Even from the material point of view. The advanced neophyte is the pure Brahman. He's on the level of someone like the sages of the four Kumaras. They're pure Brahmins. Or even inquisitive, the sages of Naimisharanya. I'm sure if I was in Naimisharanya, the sages wouldn't think, wow, I wouldn't mind being qualified as a sage of Naimisharanya. Here Shukadeva was to be qualified to hear Shukadeva Goswami, or Sutta Goswami. So we shouldn't take these levels so cheaply and think, well, I've surpassed these things, I've understood it all. No, a little awe and reverence will help us be a little more advanced, a little questioning, inquisitiveness. What is this really all about? Otherwise, that's what that's called sadhagya. We think it's so cheap. Prabhupada had to encourage us. If he said that this process, if he actually explained the process all the time, as it really is, we become discouraged because we're the instant generation. Everything has to come instantly. Therefore, Prabhupada gave some statements that were encouraging, but most of the time he gave factual statements, especially in his books, so we can take the process seriously and actually understand it deeply, not just superficially. Yeah, that's one of the encouraging things. Well, probably the Bhagavad Gita says the same statement. But he says offenselessly chanting. Yes, anyone who offenselessly chants Hare Krishna, they'll reach the perfection of life. Who can doubt it? And if we follow the Gauri principles, that's one of the criteria for offenseless chanting. But obviously, to offenselessly chant will take some time, some practice, some proper understanding. It's not that I chant Snick, snick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, day, kitty. At the end of life, Krishna comes and takes me because they're chanting my hey, kitty, kitty, and snick, snick. No, we have to come to the Brahma Buddha and then Bhava. We have to come up at least the Bhava platform. Those who join Krishna Lila, we can see what their qualifications were. And that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't find anyone who joined Krishna Lila in his pastimes in the material world from the conditional state, the minimum they were on the platform was Bhava. So we have to come to that platform. Then we become qualified to join Krishna Lila in this platform, this world, and get trained up so we can go back to the spiritual world. Not that I'm still on the platform, not an Arkham of Riddhi, and Krishna takes me. What would I do there? I go back to, I join Krishna Lila and complain. You know, why does Krishna have all these gopis? You know, why doesn't he give me one or two of them too? We complain. We have, you know. So we have to become qualified to join Krishna Lila. And Krishna is not going to force the qualification. We have to go through the process. And this is the process. Yeah. Anartha Nivritti means that we still have some anarthas. We're still offensively chanting Hare Krishna. Or we have, there's other seva aparad, dham aparad, there's offenses due to previous sinful and pious activities, offenses due to deity worship, offenses due to the holy name. Generally, if one chants the holy name, offenselessly, all the other offenses goes away. So it means we're attracted to usually women and wealth, or men and wealth. That's the main offense. Everything else is a subsidiary underneath those things. Sense gratification, accumulation, and material. Taking security from material accumulation and trying to enjoy what we've accumulated. So these are, security comes from wealth or possessions. So that's security. And the other thing is when we get enough of it, then we want to enjoy it. So these are the major anarthas, and everything else is a subsidiary. So when we come to the Brahma Buddhist platform, we can't take refuge in wealth or sense gratification or mental concoction. We have to take shelter of Krishna. Yeah.
You mentioned offenses due to the pious activities.
Yeah.
Can you give an example of how this works?
For pious activity, we want gets high education, he gets birth in a nice country or family, he gets material beauty, and he gets material janma, and maheshvarya, and wealth. So to take shelter in these things, to think deha, patya, kala, tradishu, atma, sanyesh, vasachipi, that by this material arrangement I'm satisfied, I'm protected. So that's an anartha. I can chant Hare Krishna when everything is nice, and as soon as things get a little disturbing, then I forget Krishna. Try to figure out how to arrange things back the way I like it. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Congratulations, my Bhagavatam. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ki jai.